You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Giant Take podcast. My name is Josh, and I am joined by my friend and co-host, Alex. I know, a lot of content for you in a short amount of time. We go from having, you know, some episodes here and there every week or two, and then now we're just bouncing right back in after a nice three-day weekend, I guess. Well, two-day weekend, but 3 days since our last episode. And, you know, Alex and I are back, and we're talking more NFL draft, and that's what we will be talking until free agency rolls around in a few weeks. But for right now, as you can tell from the title, the wide receiver preview, our top five picks for the top five wide receivers in the 2024 NFL draft. We'll give that to you in just a little bit. If you have not already, please go and check out our top six quarterbacks. The reason we did six and not five is because those six guys are kind of a different tier than the rest of the draft class. That episode is available right here wherever you're listening. And also the part where we talk about specifically just the quarterbacks is on our YouTube channel if you rather watch that instead. And then same thing for this one. It'll be posted a little bit later than the episode, but depending on when you're listening to the episode, the video will also be out on YouTube as well. Alex, first of all, before I have some more stuff to say, but before that, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, it's getting combine week is coming up in just a couple of days, and that's always really exciting, even though we're going to talk about a little bit later on that some of these top prospects are not going to be participating, but it still is nice to see kind of how these guys measure up athletically, size-wise, and even, of course, some skill stuff, especially with the quarterbacks and some passing drills and some receiving drills as well. So I'm excited to see all that, and you know, it's always a fun week when you go to Indianapolis.
Yeah, and obviously the scouting combine coming up, like you were saying, we have a preview for that. That'll be coming out in the next couple of days as well. Like I said, a lot of episodes in a little bit amount of time. Why are we doing this? Because we want to give you the best coverage possible right here. And along those lines, we had an interview with Bobby Skinner of Talking Giants, a really, really great interview. And that's just not trying to boast us. That was also, you know, giving credit to Bobby as well. We really enjoyed having him on. So if you want to check that out, that was the last episode we had. That interview is also right for you on YouTube too, if you wanted to watch that. And we appreciate everyone's support of that one. That went kind of big for us. So we do appreciate that. So go check that out here on your podcast platform or on YouTube. All right. Alex, are we ready to get into it?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready. Let's talk about these receivers.
All right. So your top five receivers in this year's NFL draft starts right after this. We'll be right back.
What a tease, Josh.
All right. Welcome back. the top five wide receivers for our picks, at least, in the 2024 NFL Draft. And I want to make that clear. There is not, obviously, a concrete ranking throughout everything. I don't care if you're Daniel Jeremiah. I don't care if you're any other draft, you know, scouter out there. These are our personal picks, and that is what we believe. All right, more nonsense. We don't need to talk about that. Let's go into number five, and that is Troy Franklin, the 6'3", 187-pound junior coming out of Oregon. Alex is going to give us a little bit more on the pros and cons, and then he's going to throw it back to me for some stats, and then we'll get into comparison and everything else. For anyone who is new, I'll give it to Alex. So we'll explain a little bit more about how we do things here on these rankings.
Yeah, pros, cons, obviously they're just normal, I guess, profile attributes, their height, weight, school, year. And then, of course, we have the grades, which we calculate, which correlate to around, and then the projections and the player comp as well, for those that we can come up with, obviously. Those that are kind of different and players that we haven't seen before, well, they don't have a comp. But I think in this case, I think we have a comp for pretty much everyone. But yeah, Troy Franklin, Josh. He's a really, really elite playmaker in terms of his speed, his route running, both really, really big positives for him. The kind of cons with him, agility and flexibility. For someone who's kind of on the lighter side, yes, he's taller at 6'3", but he's not super agile, which is kind of, you know, I guess a little bit weird considering how fast he is and his acceleration. And then his contested catchability. Again, he has the height. But he definitely needs to beef up a little bit in the NFL if he wants to compete with some of those more physical corners for those 50-50 balls. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how he develops, what he decides to do in terms of whether he wants to gain weight or just add muscle and gain weight or whatever he wants to do, you know, once he gets drafted into the NFL. But someone who really is kind of a very solid, you know, speedster, I think. And he kind of, I guess, has similarities to a certain guy on the Giants that we're going to talk about in a couple minutes as his comp. But I'll get into his grades. So these grades all out of 10, they're weighted a little bit differently. Like, so stuff like speed is going to be rated a little bit higher than route running, because in the NFL, route running can be developed, right? So you know, you can't really teach speed, as they always say. So speed 9 out of 10, hands 6.5 out of 10, route running 7.5 out of 10, agility 6 out of 10, and then for his size grade, we have a 5.5 out of 10, and that correlates to a 7.1 out of 10, which gives him a late first round grade. He is projected currently to go in the late first round. And our comp, I kind of hinted at this earlier, he's kind of a more, I guess, a more talented coming out of college, Darius Slayton, but there's a lot of similarities there. Darius Slayton, not the most agile player, but very, very quick, great long speed. So does Troy Franklin, someone who you know, is a pretty decent route runner considering his size. Darius Slayton, again, and the contested catchability, not something that we really see for Darius Slayton, but don't see it either for Troy Franklin. I actually really, really love this comparison.
Yeah, so we go into his stats now. Obviously, like a top college prospect, he's got some comparisons from freshman year to when he finished in his junior year. Just over 200 yards and only 2 touchdowns in his freshman year. And then you throw that to 2022, almost 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. And then over 1,380 yards receiving this past season, 14 touchdowns for Franklin. We move to number four now, Brian Thomas Jr., an LSU guy. Look out for another LSU guy later down in our list. A junior, 6'4", 205 pounds. Alex, he's playing a lot of big games, and I'll actually go to that first before I throw it to you, switching up the order a little bit. Played against, I don't even know where I want to start. Well, early in September against 8th-ranked FSU at the time, 7 catches for 142 yards and a touchdown in that game. Big days against big opponents, that's what you want to see because, again, I've explained this before in our rankings, but when they are playing these ranked teams with ranked, you know, ranked opponents, most of those guys on those really good teams are also going to the NFL. So he is playing against future NFL players. Against 20th-ranked Ole Miss in September, he had 8 catches for 124 yards and 3 touchdowns. That is a game that a lot of people go back to from his junior season of where he was super successful. But then you look at some games where he didn't do absolutely phenomenal. I wanted to try and balance it out against ranked opponents. He played 21st-ranked Missouri in October. He did get a touchdown in that game, 4 catches for 66 yards. It's a, you know, pretty solid day. played 8th-ranked Alabama in November, just 3 catches for 36 yards. So, kind of varies all over the place, but overall had almost, well, had over 1,100 receiving yards this year and 17 touchdowns that Thomas did. And okay, Alex, now I'll send it to you.
What I'll say here is this 4 and 5 spot, you could have thrown a ton of names. I think you could have thrown maybe a 6-7 guys could be in this like 4 and 5 range, especially in this late first, early second type of wide receiver class. There's just a lot of depth there, a lot of different players you can choose from. And I think you're going to see some, you know, mix and matching, I think is the right word, by different teams based on what they're looking for in terms of receiver profile. If you want a guy who's going to be bigger, hopefully has the potential to be more of a contested catch guy, you could go Brian Thomas, whereas you kind of want a guy who wants, you know, who's more of a playmaker, potential yard after catch ability, then you might look Troy Franklin. So there's a lot of different ways that teams are going to view these guys in the late first, you know, second round area. So I just wanted to mention that. But yeah, his pros, Josh, he's got pretty good speed and acceleration considering being 6'4". He tracks the ball really well downfield. And obviously with his height, that also comes with great length. And that's something that I think could be very, you know, potent for him as a potential high-level contested catch guy in the NFL. Again, a lot of draft previewing, looking at these prospects, really studying these prospects is kind of projecting what they could be. And I think for Brian Thomas, that's probably why he's projected to go a lot higher than I think his probably college play kind of puts him at. A little bit of his cons, though, his footwork and coordination comes a little bit with his size, is not great. His limited route tree at LSU, he was not really asked to do some of the stuff that players that we're going to talk about a little bit later or a specific player was asked to do. So that needs to be taken into consideration. And he also just needs to be more physical, needs to bulk up a little bit. 205 probably needs to get to that 215 mark once he enters the NFL. So with all that, our grades are for him: speed 7.5, hand 7.5, route running 6.5, agility 6.5, and size 7.5, which puts him at a 7.1. Also, just a tiny bit higher, or the same, but just barely. We're putting him above, I should say, Troy Franklin, and he is our 4th receiver here. And our comp for him is George Pickens. I think it's a pretty good one. Both 6'4", both were kind of a little bit more slim coming out of college. And now, obviously, George Pickens bulked up a little bit. Can Brian Thomas Jr. do the same? He's projected right now to go in the mid-first round. He's been rising up draft boards as of late. But that 7.1 puts him as a late first-round prospect for us.
Now, I don't know if Thomas is as physical as a guy like George Pickens is, but I'm sure, you know, with the contested catches and things of that nature, both of them compare very well. Okay, this is it, Alex. We've reached, you know, if that was like tier two in quotes, because you said you can kind of flip 4 and 5. If you're flipping these top three, I don't believe you, because these top three, I think, are solidified. They are set, and they are absolute dogs on the offensive side of the ball. And we start with number 3 in Rome Odunze, 6'3", 215 pounds, the junior out of Washington. You might recognize that school because in our top quarterbacks, we talked about one of them in Michael Penix Jr. Well, the number one guy who he was throwing the ball to was right here in Odunze. And now, when I tell you there's a lot of games I can go to for Rome Odunze, there are a lot. Now, I don't want to put you to sleep and bore you to death, but I will mention a couple of them that really stand out to me. Against 8th-ranked Oregon in October, he had 8 catches for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns in that game. Against 18th-ranked Utah in November, just 3 catches, right? Common 3 catch. 2 of them went for touchdowns. 2 out of the 3. 111 yards in total in that game. 11th-ranked Oregon State in November, 7 catches, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now we get to the good stuff. The championship. Washington went all the way. Well, what'd they do to get there? And what did Rome Odunze do to help them get there? In the Pac-12 championship game against 5th-ranked Oregon in December, 8 catches for 102 yards. Against 3rd-ranked Texas in the CFB semifinal, 6 catches for 125 yards. And in the CFB final, which unfortunately the Huskies lost in, Odunze still tried his hardest and did his best, getting 5 catches for 87 yards. This season in total, actually I'll do the last 2 seasons. In 2022, Adunze had 75 catches for over 1,100 yards and 7 TDs. In this past season, in 2023, almost 100 catches for over 1,600 yards and 13 touchdowns. That is a player. And somehow, he's only number 3.
Yeah, Josh, I mean, this is a really deep receiver class. And like you said, there's a really clear 1-2-3. And Adunze, he's definitely solidified himself at that 3 spot. And kind of the guys after him, I just don't think are at that same level. And I think you could say that for the other top 3 as well, other members of the top 3. But yeah, his size and strength, he's just a really big guy. He's really, really strong, which is something that I think he plays stronger, even bigger than he looks, even though he does look really big on game day. His change of direction is really good for his size as well. His ball skills, he has a huge catch radius, which is really positive for contested catch situations. His cons, his long speed is not exactly ideal. He's very quick in the short and intermediate areas, but once he gets deep, he kind of falters a little bit. And then his explosiveness, whether that be off the line or on cuts during route running, can be, I think they could be a little bit better, considering his speed in those short and intermediate areas. Our grades, I should say, is speed 8 out of 10, hands 8 out of 10, route running 8 out of 10. I know it feels like a lot of 8 out of 10s, but he's really well-rounded. Agility 7 out of 10, and size 8 out of 10, adding up to a 7.8 out of 10, which puts him just on the cusp, but just falls outside of the early first round for us and puts him in the mid-first round area. And he is projected right now to go in the top 10, which is, you know, I guess a little bit higher than where we have him, but definitely isn't something that's crazy to do. And in terms of a comp, we really don't have one because it's kind of difficult because we haven't really, you don't see a lot of receivers that are as strong as he is. I mean, obviously, first name that comes to mind is DK Metcalf, but he's just on another planet that I don't think it's really fair to compare anybody to that guy. So, you know, we're just going to go with that he is his own guy, I guess, here, that we don't, haven't really seen a guy that's very similar to him. I'm sure if you go back 20, 30 years, I'm sure you could find someone. But, you know, we like to keep them somewhat recent so people kind of, you know, compare them to players that are in the league right now. And right now, when I look around the receiver rooms in every single team, I don't see a guy like Adunze anywhere.
Well, we do see a guy like this player coming up right now, and we'll get to him right now, actually. Malik Nabers. I said there was going to be another LSU player coming up. I said it was going to be another LSU junior, 6 foot.
Josh, is this another Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase situation where you got two great receivers in one school at once and they're both going to be top tier? I mean, some people are saying it. I don't think they're at that level, but I mean, who knows, right?
I would hope so. And 6'2", 200 pounds. So I was going to say, Rome Adunze, I was so ready to put him at number 2, but Malik Nabers' speed is absolutely unmatched until you get to number 1. And we'll get to him in a little bit. But what's crazy about Malik Nabers, excuse me, is what he did this past season. LSU, well, do you remember? I feel like we talked about LSU before, Alex, right? We did. Because
I remember
that. You want to talk about another quarterback? I just talked about Michael Penix Jr. Well, who was the receivers that Malik, or who was throwing to Malik Nabers, excuse me? It was Jaden Daniels, which again, another one of our top quarterbacks that we talked about in our last video, ranking QB prospects. But anyway, so what did Nabers do this past season? He had 89 catches for 1,569 yards and 14 touchdowns. Season before that, over 1,000 yards in that year as well, but just 3 touchdowns. So really bulked up on the touchdowns this season. I want to point you to, remember I talked about how a guy before us kind of struggled. I think it was actually Brian Thomas, right? His partner in crime at LSU struggled against that Alabama team. Well, you want to know why? Because someone else carried the torch. Against 8th-ranked Alabama in that game in November, Nabers had 10 catches for 171 yards. And a touchdown. And another good game I want to mention was against 21st-ranked Missouri in October. 6 catches for 146 yards and a touchdown. Alex, what else do you got on Nabers?
Yeah, I mean, his pros, he's got great burst and explosiveness. You see that pretty much in every aspect of his game, except for one, which I'll talk about in his one con that we have. He's also a great deep threat, whether it's speed or just tracking the ball deep. He is very good. yards after catch ability, something that basically no one else really in this class has at his level besides, of course, the number one guy. I feel like we keep hinting at it. He tracks the ball well downfield, like I mentioned, but his one con is that despite this great burst, this explosiveness that you see on his tape, he has a really poor release, which is just kind of odd. I wonder if it's more of a coaching thing than anything. That's kind of what I'm hoping for, so I'm not kind of deducting too much from his grades because of that. So I'm thinking that's more of a coaching thing. Again, we're trying to project, so I think that's something he could fix up. But our grades for him, 8.5 out of 10 for speed, 8 out of 10 for hands, 8.5 for route running, 8.5 for agility, and 7 for size, putting him at an 8.2 grade, which is an early first round. And obviously he is projected to go right now just at that number 5 spot to the Chargers. But he is with the potential that Mike Williams is cut, of course. But right now he is a top 5 prospect projected in this year's class.
And Alex, someone who's also been linked to the Giants as well. Now, I don't know if we're drafting a wide receiver like Malik Nabers, but he's definitely been linked with the team. So we'll have to wait and see. But
if I'll say this, if I was a betting man and I had to bet on one player the Giants were taking, he would be it. From what I've read, he is that very hardworking kind of, in the first in, first out kind of mentality, something that the Giant, reliable, dependable, that kind of thing. And I think he's kind of that perfect mold for the Giants based on what I've read. Of course, I've never met him. I've never talked to him. So it's hard to say that. But from those who have talked to him and have been around him, that's what they say.
Well, they also say that probably about this guy, too. And what they also say is he is the best wide receiver in this year's NFL draft class. There is no debate. And I think he's held this title for honestly 2 years at this point. I think if you looked even before this season began and said who was going to be the number one player, they would have said Marvin Harrison Jr., 6'4", 205 pounds, a junior out of Ohio State. He's done this for a while now, especially the past two seasons, where last year he had 77 catches for 1,263 yards and 14 touchdowns. Well, he did the same thing this year. 10 less catches, however, still over 1,200 yards receiving, 14 touchdowns, so exactly the same there. And he had some big games as well. Against third-ranked Michigan in November, had 5 catches for 118 yards and a touchdown. And then 7th-ranked Penn State in October, 11 catches, 162 yards, and a touchdown. Was the Biletnikoff winner this past year in 2023. Who won it last year? The New York Giants' Jalin Hyatt. And a few other guys as well, Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, Jerry Jeudy, among other wide receivers who were awarded the award. It is given to the best college wide receiver in the nation, and Harrison won that, as he should. And there's a pretty high grade coming up. I'm not going to spoil anything because Alex will get that covered, but it might be the highest grade we've ever given a prospect thus far, Alex. You might confirm or deny that, but I think in the 2 years or 3 years we've done this, I don't think you've ever given this high of a grade to a player.
Yeah, I was just, it's so funny that you just brought that up. I was just looking to see in our previous, 3 years of draft previews and stuff, I have kind of a list of our top prospects from each year. I was looking. The only guy who we had higher was actually Kyle Hamilton. He had an 8.8. So this guy's a little bit below that. But, obviously we see how Kyle Hamilton has turned out in this league. One of the best
defensive backs. I guess just Alex is just the scout you got to go to.
You got to talk to me, I think, really, is what's got to happen. NFL GM office, NFL GMs are looking for a new national scouting director, something like that. I'm here, all right? I'm very
scouting
available.
Intern for the summer?
Scouting intern. Well, the summer, the thing is, I guess I could get started early. Who knows? Maybe I'll stand outside or something. I don't know. Well,
I'll just stand outside the Giants. You can look at UDFAs to sign over the summer.
That's true. Josh, I was actually thinking.
Go ahead.
What if I just stand outside the Giants practice facility, and when Joe Shane walks to his car, I just show him, have you seen this guy? Have you heard of him? You want my breakdown on him? Here you go. But anyway, on a serious note, Marvin Harrison Jr., he is probably the best wide receiver prospect we've seen since Jamar Chase. Probably some are saying even better than him. I believe we weren't doing this yet when Jamar Chase was coming out, so we didn't have a grade on him. But Marvin Harrison Jr., definitely the best receiver we've looked at officially, I guess, on this podcast. His speed acceleration is second to none. His footwork and agility are fantastic. He has great ball skills at all three levels. He can play on the outside. He can play in the slot. He has a very quick release. He's just got that it factor. I said it for Caleb Williams last time. He's got that it factor. He's going to be a big playmaker in the NFL. Only con we have for him is that he's a little bit skinny at 6'4", 205. But besides that, he can do quite literally anything. We have, for his grades here, 9 out of 10 for speed, 8.5 out of 10 for hands, 9 out of 10 for route running, 8.5 out of 10 for agility, and 7 out of 10 for size. And that puts him at an 8.6, which is the highest this year by only one. We had Caleb Williams at an 8.5, so two very big generational prospects, and they're both really, really high grades, both higher than any prospect we had last year. Of course, last year's class was much more of a, I guess you can say, not as top-heavy, but more just well-rounded class, and I think this year you've got a lot of top-heavy, really, really big players, which of course is great for the Giants, who are at the very top of the NFL draft. And he obviously projected early first round, projected top five pick. Everyone's kind of thinking that he will be heading to Arizona at number three.
So let's recap. Troy Franklin, number 5. Brian Thomas Jr., number 4. Roma Dunze, number 3. Excuse me. Malik Nabers, number 2. And Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 1 to round out and wrap up the top 5 wide receivers, according to us, in the 2024 NFL Draft. We thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Giant Take Podcast. A few ways you can support us: hit us on the social media platforms at the Giant Take Pod on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Alex on Twitter at Anorian23. I'm on Twitter at JoshSolo29. Subscribe wherever you're listening. And again, everything will be in the podcast description. If you want to watch the wide receivers rankings or whatever, but if you want to watch them, they'll be on our YouTube channel at some point in the future when I finish editing. Also, again, we thank you so much for your support over this time. You know, maybe right now you're on, you know, your football hangover where it's the end of February. You don't know what to do on your Sundays or anything, but at least what you're doing is you could be just sitting there like, I don't want any football news. It's done. I'm sad. But you're sticking with us and you're listening or you're watching. And the support we got in this past month of February, before we now wrap, when we get all excited in March for the draft and stuff, there was a word, I lost it. But where we get hyped.
I don't know what you were going to say.
For the draft,
we have one more episode, I think. I think we have one more February episode.
The rush.
Right,
the rush. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. The rush.
Everyone's getting hyped for the draft. We have the scouting combine coming up now, heading into March. So don't stop now, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because we won't. And scouting
combine.
And then
the April craziness is always fun, too, because then you've got players rising up, and then somehow certain players are no longer good, even though nothing has really changed, because nothing really happens in April besides just gossip and rumors. So it's always fun to see certain players kind of their public opinion just either go like straight up or straight down, really for no reason, which is always fun. Of course, there's certain cases like a Jalen Carter last year where there is reasons for that. But anyway, it's always interesting. Anyway, I feel like I've said that word 3 times. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We really appreciate everyone, like I said, or like Josh said. And we'll see you later this week. Looking forward to the combine. And obviously, I hope everyone else is looking forward to that as well. It's always a fun week in Indianapolis. We'll see you next time. Peace.